thank God for that. My wife is home today, had a very stressful week and exhausted, and she turned just right and out, tweaked her back. So if you could remember to pray for her. I'd also like to ask for prayer for Pastor Jeff Hokanson. Some of you know him. You might know him from he spoke at my ordination down here a couple years ago. He's the pastor of Pioneer Christian Fellowship in Arcade, New York. Great, great man. We were part of his church for about 3 years there. Real father in the faith. He had a terrible kidney stone, a huge kidney stone, and he passed it, and I guess it did severe damage to his kidney. And then something else happened that just caused some of his organs to get too big. Anyway, he's in a place where he really needs God to move. But God is able, and I want to pray for him, but I want to pray in faith that God can touch his body and believe God to move. So, Father, we lift up our brother Jeff to you today. Lord, I thank you for his life. I thank you for how his life has so impacted me and so many other people. Lord, I pray that you would extend healing, the Spirit of God, to Pastor Jeff, Lord, that you would touch his body, that you would touch his kidney, Lord, that you would touch his organs and cause them to be right. Lord, I pray virtue would go to him and that he would experience the miraculous healing power of the Spirit of God in his body. Lord, pour it out on him today, Lord. Touch his body. Pray that you would touch my wife, Lord. Help her to recover, Lord. Be with her and bless her. And Lord, I thank you that you give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. Lord, we just lay hold on that today. We thank you that you are the God who strengthens your people. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's some testimonies in the church today. Hey, come on up. I know there's some testimonies, so go ahead.
I just thank God. I've been praying. We've been praying for over a month. They thought I had cancer. And there's still one test that they want me to have, which is a bone marrow biopsy. But he's almost 100% for sure that that's going to come back negative, and that's just my psoriatic arthritis with inflammation that is causing my blood work to be all messed up. So we just give God the thanks that the testing has ever...
Happy dance at our house, and we did. Brother Ed, come on up.
Well, interesting we had... I can sympathize and relate with our brother Jeff, because going back a couple of years, and actually even more than that, I'd had issues with kidney stones. But a couple of years ago, I mean, it has been all of 2 years, it started really giving me troubles, and I ended up going to a urologist and having a procedure that was supposed to be able to get up there and snag the thing and crush it up, and then, oh, it'll go through. But the procedure wasn't successful, and so I ended up with swelling and bleeding and such, and don't want to get too graphic about that, but it was a miserable time, and this thing was still in there. And a few months ago, we really were starting to pray for me, because I had the painful time of the thing traveling, and then the urologist said, well, it hasn't dropped into your bladder, so we'll see what happens. Oh, you'll pass it. Things like a quarter of an inch, you know. So, but we continued to pray, and then I had my follow-up visit with the urologist this past week, and she said, oh, I see you passed that stone. I said, no, I think I would have noticed if I passed it. So all of those nasty symptoms I'd had are disappeared and feeling normal. And so we just thank God. Amen.
I remember a couple times praying for you And boy, the Spirit of God, wham! Yes? Yes, testimonies, yes.
I had one of my first unique experiences with marriage since I've been married. I got the chance to marry my granddaughter. Started out, I had to go get an officiant license. So I went down to the Wellsville clerk's office. I said, I want an officiant license. And she says, okay. She looked in there and says, you already got an officiant license. I said, no, I want an officiant. I want to marry somebody. She says, oh. She says, well, I don't know how to do that. She says, we got it in our computer. She says, you'll have to come back tomorrow and the other girl will be here and she'll know how to do it. So I came back the next day and she said, well, we just haven't got it in the computer yet. And then I've never done it before. So I said, you want me to come back tomorrow? She says, yeah, why don't you come back tomorrow? So I came back the third day and I walked in and I said, we are going to have three strikes in a row, are we? And then she said, no, I think I can do this. So finally I got my license, $25 for one day. And it's only that day you can marry somebody on. So I had a wonderful opportunity to prepare for it, pray for it, and actually have it happen. And it was awesome. It poured rain on, we're outside and it just drenched us. It's almost like getting baptized at the same time you're getting married. But it was awesome. And everybody had a good time. And I have a wonderful memory of Mr. and Mrs. Isaac Guthrie. My granddaughter had looked forward to that spot ever since she saw it, to get married at it. And she said, I will not get married in the rain. And she got married in the rain. So, praise the Lord.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, amen. Oh, another.
Do I need to go up there or can I stay here?
You can stay there, but just speak into the mic.
So, I've talked with Pastor Dave quite a bit about opening up my home to in crisis pregnancies and whatnot, and it hasn't gone any further with that, but I'm believing it will. But I had said to a friend a while back, wouldn't it be great if I could do like a trial run and see if I really like having somebody in my house, you know, like that, because I live alone. Well, the neighbor guy left a note on my door the other day, and he said, you know, hey, can you give me a call right away? I said, okay, so I called him, and he had relatives from Florida that were coming up for the big family reunion picnic thing that's down the street from me. And his cousin and her husband and their three adult children came and spent the weekend in my upstairs bedrooms. And I loved it. It was great. So, you know, just even speaking that word of trial run, it's kind of like, well, here you go. Here's your trial run. Let's see if you really like it. But the really neat thing for me was this morning when they left to drive back to Florida, she had left a card on the table for me. And the words that were in this card just really touched me. It said, you not only you give with your heart, and that makes all the difference. And that just meant, it meant more than just the money gift that they put in there. I mean, I could hear, I told them, the Lord has blessed me with my home, and he has a need with company, so go for it. So it just was a real testimony, I think, for me that, be careful what you speak. It just might happen.
Amen. And I love this picture you found. It says, whose well done are you working for? Think about that for a minute. Whose well done are you working for? That's an important... Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Yes, sir?
I have and reunited with my older brother, Alex.
Alex, good morning. Hey. I've been hearing about the trumpet playing. He's shaking his head, no. I would like to hear a really nice recorder playing. I teach music at school, and I've heard a lot of bad recorders. Oh, amen. I don't want to cut anything short. Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Okay. Well, let's get into the Word this morning. We're going to start with John 16:33, a really cheerful verse. Will bring joy to your heart. In this world, you will have trouble. Oh boy, aren't you? I'm not on. Am I on now? Am I on now?
You are.
Okay. I'm always telling people, speak into the mic. Okay. So, in this world, you will have trouble. Yay! Thank you, Pastor Dave. That's just what I came to church to hear. But, take heart, I have overcome the world. Father, we thank you for the overcomers. We thank you that you have said that we can overcome because you have overcome. And we can have victory in Christ because you are victorious. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Today I want to talk about dealing with difficulties. Oh, dealing with difficulties. Ugh, sorry, but I've been reading in Job. My daily reading has been going through Job, and I can't tell you what a cheerful book Job is. People are born for trouble as readily as sparks fly up from a fire. Isn't that exciting? But the truth of the matter is, oops, we won't go there yet. Difficulties in this life, having difficulties, it's not only inevitable, it's guaranteed, and I hate to say it. As a new Christian, when I got saved, it was like a whole new world opened up to me. I remember feeling freed from my sins. I was delivered from life-controlling problems, and yeah, I had some life-controlling problems, and I felt like I was ready to face anything in Jesus' name. Yes! I was super zealous, but then as I continued to walk, I encountered difficulties in life that didn't go away. I wanted them to go away. Some of them I even rebuked in Jesus' name and they didn't go away. You know, you rebuke somebody in Jesus' name and they don't like it. And they don't always go away. Intercession and prayer that was not immediately answered. So I began to understand that in this life we will have trouble. Now this does not mean that I don't believe in the miraculous. I absolutely believe in the miraculous. I believe in healing. I believe in deliverance. I believe in the power of the Spirit of God. But if we are expecting to be delivered from all trouble, all problems, everything that's difficult in our life, we're going to face at the very best disappointment, at the very best real disappointment and disillusionment. It's just not going to happen. So there are things that we're going to face. So what kind of problems are we going to have to deal with? I thought about that, and I thought, well, in life there's a lot of difficulties that we can encounter. Probably the hardest ones that I find that I have to face are the problems that are of my own making. Do you know, sometimes we make problems for ourselves. James 3:2, we talked about this last week. For in many things we offend all. But Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. Sometimes our problems arise from poor decisions, actions, mistakes, and sin. And there is that law of sowing and reaping. And physically abusing or neglecting one's body. And then I've had the experience over the years, over a lot of years and doing lots of altar ministry, of having people come forward and asking for prayer for God to do a miracle in their body. When it's obvious that they have miserably abused their body. Years and years ago, I had a fellow come up and he was having terrible problems with his knees, terrible knee problems. But he weighed about almost 400 pounds. He was, and I tried to pray politely. And I did pray that God would touch his knees, but I prayed too that God would touch his life and the decisions and the things that he had made that had brought some of that. And we can cause our own financial, physical, and emotional problems through sin, through poor choices. Repentance and turning away is a key, but that's a trouble we can face. We can also have trouble, though, of other people's making, and this is a hard one. Other people's choices can seriously impact our life. You might do nothing wrong at all, and somebody else's rotten decision makes trouble for you. There are people who are victims of abuse today who did nothing wrong, and yet what someone else chose to do to them has made a difficulty that's come into their lives that they need Christ to touch. I'm dealing with an issue now that has impacted my family. I'm not going to say much. Some of you know what I'm talking about, though. That has come to impact my family through nothing that I did wrong, but 30, 40, 50 years of really, really bad decisions, horrible, awful decisions. And now, as the Christian in the family, Christians in the family, we're the ones that get to pick up the pieces. And it has not been fun. It has not. It's impacted us physically, financially, emotionally. And you may have dealt with problem people. You may have people in your life that are a real problem. You may have organizations that you... Government! Oh boy, not your making, but it causes you a problem. And then there's just problems, 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Wow, and this is a prayer I have a hard time with. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Oh, I don't usually pray that way. That's a scary prayer, but sometimes people can make your life miserable through none of your own doing. Just problems of living in this world. Don't worry, we're going to get to the good part, but there's just difficulties that come with being a Christian. 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I have had a couple people, my teaching job is great, but I have a couple people that it's their goal in life to make my life miserable, and it's because I'm a Christian. It's because I'm a Christian. Oh! It's going to happen. You might lose friends, you might lose family, you might just standing up for the truth of the gospel can make him. And then we have the difficulties of our own flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. I don't like the first part of that, where it says our outer self is wasting away. I don't like that part. And I do believe that healing is part of the atonement. I do believe that. But if I pray for you and you do not, and your body is showing the signs of getting older, wasting away, and you do not get immediately healed, I will not condemn you for that, but I will pray for you again. And I will pray for you again. And I will pray for you until you either get healed or you go to be with Jesus. I met a faith teacher, somebody who was really, really into the what I would call, I'm not making fun, but we'll call it maybe hyper-faith teaching. And he was just instructing me in the ways of faith, telling me, when you're sick, you're not really sick. You're not sick. You've just believed that you're sick. You have to believe in faith that you're not sick and it'll be gone. And then he looked at me and he said, and it's God's will for us to have perfect health. And if you walk in faith, it's not God's will for anybody to die. And I looked at him and I said, okay, you just stepped over the edge. You just went off the edge. Hebrews 9, just as man is appointed to die once, and after that to face judgment, so also Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. Guess what? Someday, you're going to die. And the faith teacher that told me, that another person that told me, if 100% of the people that you pray for don't get healed, there's something wrong with you. I had him say that to me. Well, does that mean that 100% until the very last, there's only one time that they pray for you and you die and you go to be with Jesus, everything else, you're always healed? Do you see where the sense of taking scripture and applying logical argument expands it into something that was never meant to be? So our bodies get old. We continue to pray. We believe God. We believe Him to help us with those things. There are lots of examples in the scripture of people being instantly healed. There's also examples of Paul leaving Epaphroditus sick somewhere, and he left somebody else sick somewhere else. But they got better. They got better. We're not always going to get better, folks. Someday we're going to go to be with Jesus. It's just the way it is. So, what do we do when we face difficulties that presents obstacles that we can't avoid? What do we do? How do we overcome the difficulties of the world? Okay, you're going to think I'm a broken record. I am a broken record on this point. Here it comes. Are you ready? Can anybody want to guess the first thing I'm going to say to overcoming difficulties in your life? See if you can guess. Here it comes. Overcome difficulties with the Word. With the Word. And I just can't say it enough. The missionary that we had here last week, his father from Indonesia, his father pioneered a work in Indonesia, and his whole life's work there was helping the people of Indonesia to read the scriptures, read the Word. I think that was the single message that he had. Read the Word. Read the Word. I am going to be an absolutely broken record on that, folks. You're going to hear me say that over and over and over until you're so sick of it, you'll read it just to shut me up. Read the Word. Thy Word, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You need help in overcoming difficulties. The first step, get into it. Time in the Word is always helpful, no matter what you're going through. Always, always, always. overcome difficulties with the word. When Jesus fasted for 40 days, that's when he got attacked. What did he do? He overcame with the word. He spoke the word, and it brought him through. Can you guess what the second thing's going to be? Overcome difficulties by staying in prayer. Absolutely. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We all know that we're supposed to pray. We all talk about prayer. We all tell people we're going to pray for them. When it boils down to it, though, how hard is it for you to get really quiet and really pray for more than 5 minutes? I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm thinking in my own brain, oh, God is going to judge me for this. Oh, it's really tough to get quiet, to get your brain quiet, to get your schedule quiet, and to be in the place of prayer that's going to help you when you get into difficulty. That is a tough, tough thing. And, you know, there's that old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And some days I hear that in my brain and I think, oh, God, have mercy on me. Sweet hour. Mine was like sweet 35 minutes today. When facing difficulties, it is absolutely essential to stay in contact with God and to ask his help and his guidance. No, that's not what I wanted. I didn't put that in there. But the scripture teaches us, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In other words, have your heart set on prayer all the time. Oh, it's an absolute necessity in the day that we live in. Okay, let's go on. Number three, overcome difficulties by casting down imaginations. This is important. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, casting down imaginations and taking every thought into captivity is a fancy way of saying reject negative or sinful thoughts. You got to rewrite the script that goes into your brain. And we all got them. That old script that wants to, you know what? There's one thing I really hate when people start talking about Murphy's Law. Please don't talk to me about Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law is evil.
If anything bad can happen, it's gonna.
Oh, please. Reject negative or sinful thoughts. Tearing down mental strongholds. Most of the time, victory happens up here, guys. It happens right up here in the thoughts. Negative thought patterns. You tear down those mental strongholds and those negative thought patterns, and then suddenly the mind of Christ can emerge. Then the Word of God emerges. Then what Jesus says is true becomes your truth, because that's what you're thinking on instead of Murphy's Law. Oh. And again, feed on the Word. Replace the bad and the negative thinking with scriptural truth. I have a friend that just says all the time, says, garbage in, garbage out. And it's the truth. Good stuff in, good stuff out. Garbage in, garbage out. You're going to get what you sow into yourself is what's going to happen. You know, I have men mainly, I don't talk to women about this, that come to me with problems with their thought life, and it's usually of a sexual nature. My question to them is, what are you feeding it? What are you feeding it? What are you putting into your head? So you're having a problem. What are you feeding? Are you feeding it? Starve it. Cast down that stuff. Oh, one reason that people entertain negative thinking. And I know it's true because I've witnessed it in my own life and I've witnessed it in just tons of people's lives, is they just don't want to be disappointed again. They don't want to deal with disappointment. If I get my hopes up and it doesn't happen, I'm going to feel terrible. So people are willing to entertain the thoughts of the worst things that could happen just so they won't be disappointed. The root of that is fear. Cast that off. Live your life in hope. Live your life in hope, not in the fear of disappointment. Not in the fear of disappointment. Oh, boy. Jeannie Russo, I hear God saying it to me for you today, and you need to hear this today because you need to hear it today. There is a time of breakthrough coming for you. I hear God saying it to me. There is a day of breakthrough. Oh, I hear it. I hear it, and I hear the devil wanting to tell you everything bad, but there's a day of breakthrough coming for you. I don't know whether it's your family, whether it's you personally. I don't know what it is, but I hear it. Breakthrough.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Ooh. Ooh, God. Oh. That's all the Lord gave me, so that's all you get. I don't know what it means, but I hear the Lord saying the day of breakthrough for you is coming.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. When something like that happens, I just don't even know how to what to do next. I wish the Lord would just give it to me at the end, not in the middle. Wow. Don't be afraid to hope. Don't be afraid to hope anymore. Yeah. Lay hold of it.
I have a dog named Hope for that very reason. God gave me that name for that dog. Yeah.
It's coming.
Joy.
It's coming. Weeping may endure for a night, or maybe a lot of nights, but joy comes. Joy comes. Your joy is coming. Oh, it's coming. Wow. Man, Lord, what do I do now? Move on. And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I don't hear any disappointment in that. I hear, believe God, and He's going to work it out. Overcome difficulties by choosing faith over fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety. King James says cares. That's way too easy a word. All your anxiety, all your worry on Him because He cares for you. That means you give it to Him. That means you gave it away. You don't have it anymore. Throw it on Him. And then believe in faith instead of in fear. Okay, I want to jump on. Time's getting away from us. Number five. There's only a couple more points. Number five, overcome difficulties by abstaining from sin. Challenging times can often also be times of attack and times of temptation. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. The King James says every appearance of evil. I don't like that. That just sounds like you can abstain from looking like you're sinning. I might sin, but I got away with it. No. Every form of evil. Challenging times can be the times when the enemy comes to bring temptation to sin or to relieve pressure or stress through sinful behavior. And that's when it comes. You remember I referenced Jesus' 40-day fast in the wilderness. When did the devil come to attack him? After he had fasted for 40 days. 40 long days. And it said afterward, he was hungry. Oh, yeah. That's an understatement. After 40 days, you're about that's where starvation starts to set in. So when it says he was hungry, he was hungry. Now, how fair was it that? Here, Jesus had done this amazing fast, and God lets the devil come in and, oh, life's not fair. I tell my students, get over it. I even wrote this song, just get over it. Sometimes life's unfair. It's the way it's going to be. And the devil doesn't fight fair. And the times when you face difficulties can be the time when the enemy tries to attack you in that weak area of your life. That's when it comes. And when things call to you that you shouldn't do, or maybe you shouldn't eat, or maybe you shouldn't look at, or maybe you shouldn't participate in. We'll leave it there. Abstain from every form of evil. That's where you want to overcome. That's where you want to dig your heels in. That's where the shoes that you're shod with, the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know those shoes had big spikes in the bottom of them. You could dig into the ground and you weren't going anywhere. Dig those shoes into the ground. Wear that armor. Okay, jumping on. Overcome difficulties by trusting God's plan. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. In other words, He's going to take the twisted, difficult, windy, awful road that's a problem and straighten it out. But acknowledge Him in your trust. Acknowledge. Give up your own ideas. Trust God's plan. Trust His plan. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. But He said to me, this is God speaking to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Yay! Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That is why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I have a problem with one word in there. Yeah, you just said it, delighting. I have a real hard time with, I understand tolerating it, accepting it, but delighting in it? Delighting in it? And all that stuff, why? Because that's the stuff that works the character of Christ into us. That's the stuff that helps us to get clean and brings all the garbage out of the top of us when we're in the furnace and the stuff gets purified out of us. That's why they say count it all joy in James when you enter into various trials and temptations. Knowing that the trial of your faith works. And then a whole list of things, patience. It just works wonderful things into your life. God's strength manifests the most when we are weak. And he promises to give us wisdom. He promises to help us to walk in that way. Trust his plan. You can trust it. He is a faithful God. He'll work all those things together. And lastly, number 7, continue in the face of difficulty, continue to be faithful and faithfully do what you know you're supposed to do. Keep doing it. There's an old poem about walking out your faith that I know most of you have heard it. It's called Plod On. And the poem says, plod on, 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 plod on. It's a whole poem. I think it goes on for 2 pages. Plod on. And then they vary a little and they say, plod on. You get a little change in there. Do what you know that you're supposed to do in the face of difficulty when life is hard. Do what you're supposed to do. Get into your word. Get into prayer. Continue to faithfully serve. There are times in my life where I've said, God, I'm tired. I've done this 100 times. It's time to let somebody else step up and do it. And that's the time I hear the Lord say to me, no, you're going to die to yourself and do it again. Oh, boy. All right, time to land the plane. 1 Peter 5:10. I hate this scripture. I love it. I love it. I don't say I hate it, but I look at this and I'm like, oh, God. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore you, secure you, strengthen you, and establish you. Oh, I like the end of it. Yes. Now, Paul, put this in context. He's talking about persecution for Christ. But this is, I think it's a principle that we can generalize. After you have suffered for a little while, you know what? The suffering we have in this life, compare that to forever. Forever. Who has called you to his eternal glory, his forever in Christ, will himself restore, secure, strengthen, and establish you. Hang on, walk through it, believe God, and he's going to restore you, secure you, strengthen you, and establish you. Glory to God. Father, we thank you that, Lord, problems in life are going to come. They're unavoidable. People are unavoidable. Situations are unavoidable. But we're called to walk through them well. Give us grace to walk well in the difficult times. Father, we thank you that you have given us the tools. You've given us that tool belt. Father, we've got your word. We've got prayer. We've got the helmet of salvation that we can cast down those imaginations and those thoughts. That we can believe you for your faithfulness. That we can have faith and not fear. And you can give us victory over sin, and you can cause us in the times that are difficult to walk uprightly and joyfully. Father, we pray. I pray, Lord, today that you will give us grace as we go. And Father, that you would help us to walk as a testimony to the world and to people around us of people who can have joy in the storm, people who can walk through difficulties but still have peace on the inside when nothing on the outside looks like peace. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of those testimonies you heard this morning came out of times that we're going to have right now of laying hands on people and praying and believing God to touch. And if you have a need in your body or your mind or your spirit, we would like to pray for you and believe God to move in your life. So if you are here today and you would like prayer, we are here. Someone will be here to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week. Go be an overcomer. In Jesus' name, amen.